I got involved with this because of my interest in technologies and reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and this is really one of the best targets of opportunity to do exactly that.
How is that?
It's fantastic, actually.
Why
exactly.
Is it? Just try to explain to us who are not familiar with your research why the issue of coolants or refrigerants is so meaningful to environmental work.
Well, it's extremely meaningful to environmental work. I mean, many of us were familiar with the fact that refrigerants used to deplete the ozone layer, and in 1994 we moved to a refrigerant that was better for the ozone layer, had no ozone layer impacts actually, and was actually much better for the climate too. Refrigerants are potent greenhouse gases, so by moving from CFCs to the current refrigerant, we cut the global warming impacts of that substantially. However, there are new refrigerants out there today that are even better for the climate, having virtually no impact from the direct refrigerant emissions. So that's why it's so important to the climate that we make these new refrigerants more prevalent.
So does that mean we could see a regulation at some point coming from EPA, or at least a proposed one, to change? We're talking primarily about transportation, car air conditioners, or all heating and cooling systems.
We're talking specifically in this instance about cars. And if you've been following some of the proposals that are out there, yes, there has been a proposal to give automakers credit for reducing the refrigerant greenhouse gas emissions from their cars. But some of the interesting things that I've been able to do is help make that possible.
Well, is there a new refrigerant in the works that you've helped to develop, or exactly how do you do that?
Exactly. There's three refrigerants out there that are much better. One of them is actually, ironically, carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide has a direct global warming potential of 1, whereas the one we have been using has a global warming potential of over 1,000, meaning it's 1,000 times more potent at global warming than carbon dioxide. Two of the other options that are being considered are a chemical called HFC-152A, which is about 10 times less the impact of our current refrigerant, and a brand new refrigerant called HFO-1234YF that is still pending approval.
And I imagine those new ones, the latter two, the chemicals probably cost 10 times as much as the current refrigerant, so I imagine that's an issue?
Not necessarily, actually. This was actually an issue during the original refrigerant transition, too, where everyone was thinking that the new refrigerant would cost so much more. But what is actually the case is the technology itself. The air conditioner is a pretty expensive technology, and the refrigerant is just a small part of that overall cost.
We're talking this morning to Kristen Tedonio. She is the Director of Climate Choice at the Environmental Protection Agency. She's been nominated for a Service to America Medal for her work. And if these technologies are to take off, they would be picked up by the private sector, I imagine. You know, what role does the EPA play in that? Do you work with suppliers, or how does that work?
Well, the role that I've been playing and the reason that I was nominated was there was a huge problem. 3 years ago, we identified that there were many outdated laws on the books in some states and even at the federal level that actually would have mandated use of the current refrigerant and prevented moving to any of the environmentally preferable alternatives. So what I've been doing over the last 3 years is working and doing a lot of outreach to all of those stakeholders to remove those barriers and make this transition possible.
And with respect to carbon dioxide, is it possible to get enough of it inside a car refrigerator to be efficient enough to cool a car off?
Well, it is possible to do that, but it's very challenging because it's such a high-pressure refrigerant. That's why SAE International, that is the Society of Automotive Engineers, had conducted a large working project, and they identified that some of the other alternatives are probably going to be easier to implement.
Yeah, because you don't want to drag your air conditioner on a trailer behind your car.
Yeah, that would be difficult. But there are other technologies that I know your fellow federal government employees are working on that involve magnets and some other, very high-tech kind of refrigeration process is, but they're a long way away from being approved. So, and what I hear you saying is these impact the environment less than what we currently use, but I guess the goal would be to get to zero impact on the environment. What are your chances of doing that?
Well, the chances of having absolutely no impact just because of the laws of physics are probably impossible. To operate your air conditioner, you need to use energy, and to use energy, you've got to, at least in a car, burn fuel. But then you also have this secondary impact, which is the global warming impact of the refrigerant itself. And with these new alternatives that have been invented, the impacts are so substantially low that you're pretty much having a negligible impact compared to the energy use of your air conditioner.
So
and
it looks
possible to improve that too.
So it looks as though the carbon footprint of our car, if these are used, would be greatly reduced. When do you expect, or when would you expect, as a scientist, to see this kind of technology actually employed in vehicle cooling?
I think you can look for it as early as next year.
Wow.
So are you one of those folks that drives with the air conditioning off and real light touch to see how many miles per gallon you can get?
You know, we all know that in the Washington, D.C. heat, it's impossible to live without air conditioning in the summer. So I use it, but I'm comfortable in knowing that when I use it, I'm doing all I can to reduce its impact.